Well, hello and welcome. It is so good to be with you. I always look forward to these times. They help me grow in my relationship with the Lord, to be in His Word, to know Him better, to hear from Him. And I pray that these times help you as well. And I'm thankful for the opportunities that we have to be together, thankful for all that Jonathan and Nikki do to make them possible. But obviously thankful more than anyone unto our Lord for the fact that He makes these times possible, that He wants us to know Him, and He gives us these means to do so. He's given us His Word, and He's given us His Spirit. And so as we come together before Him, let's seek Him in prayer. Father, we thank You, O Lord, for this day. Lord, the time, the opportunity to meet with You. Lord, still our hearts, focus our minds. Help us, O God, to hear from You. Lord God, we do lift up, Father, those who have been impacted by Hurricane Helene, Lord, as they continue their recovery efforts. Lord God, just watch over them. Be their comfort, be their strength, Lord. Use this, O God, to draw us as a nation back to You. Remind us of our need for You, O Lord. Father, make eternal good come out of this is our prayer and our desire, O God. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, we open God's Word, we see that the key message there is in fact the message that we are to believe in Him. You know, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. Romans 10:9, that if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you shall be saved. But is believing God really that important? Does it really make that much of a difference in terms of who we are, our life day by day, our eternal, our experience, whether in a day or for eternity? Well, we see that question answered for us in Psalm 53, which is very, very similar to Psalm 14. In Isaiah, in Psalm 53, we see God as the Creator. In Psalm 14, we see Him as the Creator and the Redeemer. But as we look at this psalm, we see why it's so important to believe in terms of salvation, life, living, certainly for eternity. And we see that by beginning not with the believer, but with the non-believer. In fact, it is not just a non-believer, but a rejecter. And so look with me as we look at the path of the rejecter. Think about what we see in verse 1. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. They are corrupt. They have committed abominable injustice. There is no one who does good. You think about the path of the rejecter, the one who says there is no God. As you look at this, you see their inward corruption. The very first part of the verse, the fool is in his heart. The word fool there has a moral connotation, not intellectual connotation. It means that they're morally insensitive. It means that they are corrupt. They're polluted from within. You know, the reality is all of us by nature are sinners from our heart out. We are polluted and corrupted from within. That's why our Lord made it very clear in the conversation with Nicodemus in John 3 that you must be born again. Why? Because we're corrupt on the inside, as naturally. That's why we read in 2 Corinthians 5:17 that if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things have passed away. All things have become new. We see that the one who's rejected God is still in that place of inward corruption. And the person rejects God. That pollution has in fact not been removed. But we not only see their inward corruption, but we see their polluted actions as well. Again, the latter part of verse 1, going through verse 3. And have committed abominable injustice. There's no one who does good. God has looked down from heaven upon the sons of men to see if there's anyone who understands, who seeks after God. Every one of them is turned aside. Together they become corrupt. There is no one who does good, not even one. They live out their inward corruption. You know, many times we listen to the news and some horrible event happens, and what immediately goes through our mind is, how could someone do that? And yet the reality is the inward corruption is what drives them to do that. And so their entire life becomes like a polluted stream. It shouldn't surprise us that someone has done whatever it is. The only thing that surprises us is that more people haven't done it before now. Because again, from that sinful heart comes those sinful actions. It comes the polluted actions. And the rejection of God always results in the vilest and most hurtful of conduct. But then not only do we see, you know, their inward corruption and their behavior that comes out of that, we also see their hatred of the righteous. Look at verse 4. Have the workers of wickedness no knowledge, who eat up my people as though they ate bread and have not called upon God? Anything or anyone that points out their sinful heart, their sinful actions, and the consequences, God's judgment upon that, is hated, is despised, is in fact, they must attack it, they must in fact destroy it. It can't stand. You know, Jesus, in that conversation with Nicodemus in John 3, talked about, you know, the evil, the wicked, don't want to come to the light. They run from it. The doers of evil hate the light. You may have seen debates where an atheist is debating a believer, usually in terms of science. And if the believer is able to articulate the wonderful truth of God's word, it's not uncommon for the atheist just to become emotionally unhinged because they cannot stand the thought of a God existing, them being accountable unto that God, and them falling short before that God within their heart and in their conduct. But we not only see, you know, their heart, their conduct, their hateful response, we also see their destiny. Look at verse 5. There they were in great fear where no fear had been. For God scattered the bones of him who encamped against you. You put them to shame because God has rejected them. A picture, you know, the picture, the illustrations of a great military victory. The how and the why, this application of Psalm 14. Again, both Psalms very close together. This one gives us a little more editorial comment, if you will. Inspired by the Holy Spirit, of course. But what a picture of God's judgment upon them in terms, yes, of time, but even more so in eternity. They learn that their rejection and denial of God doesn't make God go away. It just increases their guilt before him. You know, if you're listening to this and you've never trusted Christ as your Savior, I invite you to do that today. He is your only way into salvation. All of us are born of the sinful heart. All of us have committed acts of sin. All of us are guilty before a holy God. And the only way into salvation is through Jesus Christ, who lived, died, and rose again for us. And refusing to accept him, refusing to recognize him, refusing to make him Lord and recognize him as Lord, doesn't make the reality of our condition go away. It doesn't make the reality of God and our accountability of him go away. It just increases our guilt. In fact, again, if you've never accepted Christ, I invite you to do that, but please understand, if you reject your guilt and your responsibility before God, your accountability before God, is greater now than it was even when we started this taping of this devotion together. Because the truth has been shared. Every time you hear the truth, your accountability and responsibility increases before God. And pushing him away doesn't make him go away. Doesn't make him go out of existence. It just increases your accountability. Well, how are we supposed to live in the midst of all this? Well, look at the path of the believer. In verse 6, oh, that the salvation of Israel would come out of Zion. When God restores his captive people, let Jacob rejoice, let Israel be glad. The path of the believer, redemption. You know, through this wonderful victory that Jesus Christ has won, there is in fact salvation. Jesus Christ came, lived, died, took all of our sins and all of our sinfulness upon himself, died upon the cross in our place, was buried and rose again to give eternal life. And how we can, in fact, be born again, made right with him through faith and trust in Jesus Christ. And again, if you've never done that, I invite you to do that. But not only is there the redemption, but notice as well there is the restoration when God restores his captive people. He makes us new. Obviously, this is what happens in salvation. That's, again, like Jesus told Nicodemus, you'll be born again. But also in terms of our confession, we are cleansed. We are made right with God again. No, we don't lose our salvation, but we lose our fellowship, but we are in fact forgiven and cleansed of our sins. We are in fact made new again, if you will. That wonderful work of restoration that he does in our life. But then there's also the rejoicing. Let Jacob rejoice. Let Israel be glad. God gives us joy now by the fruit of the Spirit in everyday life. But ultimately, we'll be able to rejoice when we're with our Lord, when we see the victory that he has won. Yes, we see, you know, the reality of the wicked, what they're like from the inside out. But we also see that through Jesus Christ, we have redemption, we have restoration, we have rejoicing. And I pray that you are, in fact, walking with him and experiencing that, the path of the believer. Which path are you on? I pray that you're on the path of the believer. You've been born again, you're walking in fellowship with him, and you're experiencing his goodness. And I pray as you go through this day, that you go through this day walking with him. Well, as we conclude in prayer today, I would like for us to once more remember the victims of Hurricane Helene. I'm filming this early. Our intentions, our plans were to go on vacation the latter part of the week that I'm filming this. It'll actually be the week after for you when you watch it. But again, the town that we've always enjoyed going to doesn't really exist. Remington is on storm duty cleaning up in one of our neighboring counties from their damage. And all the, you know, our loss of vacation, his being out there, that's a small thing. But so watching the film of the town that we've loved so and the effects there, it is heartbreaking. We want to lift up those people again. Father, again, we seek you. Father, thank you for the wonderful salvation that, oh God, that you give us. Lord, I pray, oh Lord, that everyone watching this has come to that salvation. And Father, that we are in fact walking, oh God, in fellowship with you and experiencing the joy, oh God, in our life now as we walk with you and looking forward to being with you. Guide us through this day. Lord, again, please be with the victims of this hurricane. God, you alone can be their comforter, their guide, their strength. Lift them up, we pray in Jesus' holy name.